When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard in their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors to Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine."
So the second reading today is, I don't know whether it's on the screen or not, but it's great, thank you. Just the second part, following on from Claire's first reading to us. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken to you by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This is the word of the Lord. No Anglicans in here, that's okay. Thanks be to God. Anyone know this picture? Of course you do. Anyone want to tell me about this picture? Yeah. Of course, it's Michelangelo's painting. And it's in the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And it's called The Creation of Adam. It's that moment of God and humanity touching. Anyone seen it? Wow, lots of people been to Rome. We should open a travel agency at SBC. I've seen it as well, but it is incredible. It's a piece of art. Think about Mark and Judy, who are, Mark particularly, his art is amazing. And if you're listening online, Mark, then he's got a great website, so go check it out. Some people sort of label me as someone who's always into sport. And if you're into sport, you may be into music too, but you're definitely not into art. Well, that's not true. I love sport, music, and art. I'm okay at one. I'm terrible at the other, and I'm not even going to try and attempt art. But this painting comes in a period of time, and it's the Renaissance. And Renaissance is a period of art and culture that comes from the French word to be reborn. That's where this art comes from, this sense of touching God to humanity. Comes in a period of artists in Western Europe who are actually bringing about and leading and pioneering the Renaissance period. And the Renaissance period, of course, is the rebirth or the revival coming out of what? The Dark Ages. See, you had all this amazing art and culture being expressed and flowering in different places coming out of a history of humanity known as the Dark Ages. A renaissance is taking place. A renaissance is making a difference. The world is seeing some light where there was darkness. What's all that got to do with Pentecost? Well, Pentecost can be described as like a renaissance, a way in which light is shining all around through the fire, the symbolism of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit dramatically coming to breathe life and passion where there was fear, trepidation, and dare I say it, darkness, even after the resurrection of Jesus. There was fear. There was about a sense of hiding from the public square for fear of what might come. And 50 days after Easter, but the Jewish people celebrated 50 days after Passover, the Pentecost time. Passover, as we know, if we've been Christians and read our scriptures well, and we know the story of the Exodus and the people of God, it's that time when God passes over the doors with the blood of the Lamb, and those who are behind the doors with the blood of the Lamb are set free from Egyptian slavery. Passover is the moment of liberation from slavery, freedom to live life again, new birth and an identity as God's people, a moment of salvation, a moment of revival, a moment of being born again. It was a renaissance. It is a time to celebrate. But the Jewish people who came from many different places and had many different languages, they were quite multicultural. The Jewish diaspora came to Jerusalem to remember the Passover, but it was also a double whammy. They also celebrated harvest, Shavuot, which is the time of the grain being cut and food being delivered. A time of harvest. Well, the Spirit comes and comes across upon the early apostles and say, this is a new liberation. This is a new freedom. This is a new Passover. This is a time where your identity is shaped and formed. This is a renaissance. And you will be a blessing because you are blessed. And a harvest of grain will turn into a harvest of the people who come into God's presence in such a way that they may touch the very presence of God. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, coming out of Joel and coming out of the Psalms. And then Jesus of Nazareth was a man endorsed by God to you. The Spirit's work is all the while igniting the people of God to follow and trust and believe and hope in the center of it all, Jesus Christ. At SBC, or maybe in other places, are we experiencing a renaissance period? Or is everything just the same? don't usually use notes, but I'm going to have to go back to my notes here because I actually write every word I'm saying, by the way, just so you're not just shooting from the hip. But Rachel, you write, why do we do all this? That's what you said in your search, in your wondering. And then you said, is church a performance? The questions you were asking are so pertinent. Why do we do all of this? Well, let me illustrate something. I really need a wheelbarrow at home. I haven't got one. You know, I've got a lovely new manse. You will all be invited one day, don't worry, but I've got to cut the grass. Grass cutting is what it's all about. Because you're going to comment on the grass. Oh, he's not a very good gardener. Oh dear, what have they done there? Do they even know what that flower is? And the answer will be no. And I can only apologize right now, okay? I am no gardener. I've not even got a wheelbarrow. Anyone else got a wheelbarrow? They're wonderful things, actually. I've got a bit of a bad back at the moment, but it just feels pretty chill doing this without anything in it. It's great. They're much better when they've got nothing in them. But what happens if we grab a couple... What's this called, by the way? What's that? What's that called? Fork, thank you. And this one? Great, I did know. You know that. Right, so this is Kenton Stowe. Is that a good make? Yeah. Very expensive, is it? Is it expensive? Right. What do I do with it? You lot are not very good gardeners either. What do I do with a fork? A very posh one. Oh, what? I do what? Say that again. Aerate. Let the air in. This is so new for me. Could we have a garden party where you come, I'll provide the drinks, you just get going. But I think you know what, I know what to do with it. Didn't know about that, whatever that word is. You just dig and chuck it over your shoulder. That's all I know. Dig, chuck it over the shoulder. Hannah, don't get too close. Do you know what? Church. I asked a few people to bring some things. We've got a rake. Lovely. Autumn leaves. Is that what we do? Anything else? What?
Getting moss out of your lawn.
Didn't know there was moss in it, to be honest, but okay. Apparently, the thing to do today is to just let things grow. I love that. Just let things grow. That's my style of ministry, actually. Just let it grow. Oh, there's a song. Anyway, yep, doing all that, great. Now, church, where on earth am I going with this on Pentecost? Hang on, what's that? A hoe? Ho, ho, ho. Comes out at Christmas? I'm being silly, you know that. But, oh, hello. There's no ho, ho, ho anymore. Who does that? Very sorry. We'll just move on. Right, what we do as church, I am going to make a point. What we do as church, for so long, been raking, digging, whatever you just said, Faith. We've been making the air, getting the air out. The imagination boggles. But in. Oh, thank you, John. Thank you, John. In. So, oh my, this gardening stuff, it's just complicated. Maybe when I retire, I might get into gardening. But anyway, what we do, we, for so long, we've picked up tools in church life. Sunday morning service. Life groups. Home groups. No, they're called life groups. Growth groups. No, they're life groups. No, they're home groups. Stop saying home groups. They're life groups. Oh, this new minister's so annoying. Life groups. We do a bit of children's ministry over here. We do a bit of that. Then we do some pastoral care because that's really important. And it might be the smallest but we've got, but we do a bit of mission as well. We do some worship. And then suddenly, crash, bang, wallop, we had to completely and utterly down tools. COVID. Oh my goodness. What is going on? Who is who? What is what? I feel completely overwhelmed. My mate's got COVID. I'm going to get COVID. I'm worried. What's going on in the world out there? And then what's happening at SBC? Zoom? I hate Zoom. Services online. I love you all online. It's so great you've joined us. But really, this is the first time that during COVID we had to down tools and down every area of ministry. And we had to rethink church. We had to even rethink our own Christian lives. Is God in control? Or is there some disease that's more in control? What is the relationship between God and the pandemic? How do we do this church thing? Loads of questions started to emerge. Our very Christianity was shaken. We downed tools. And then, perhaps harder still, was working out how are we going to re-emerge as church. I know, let's re-emerge as church by keeping everything exactly the same. I wonder whether we sensed the Spirit say that to us or not. Or whether, a bit like Rachel, there was a sense of, we've always done it this way in your early life. This is what we should do. Our Christianity continues, even under the destabilizing period of COVID, to be contained sometimes within an hour and a quarter, but again, this new minister might be just taking it a bridge too far, an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. I really think we are in a time now, and it's not just me, there are many church leaders who are going, what is this church thing? Anyway, what does it mean to be God's people? What does it mean to have a fresh vitality for Jesus? How is the church going to change and adapt and connect with the culture out there? I mean, the Anglicans are on it. I read this week that I think the national average age in the UK is 61. The average age of the churchgoer in the Anglican church is 61. But the average age in the UK is 41. And they're saying, oh my goodness, what is going on? What is the future of the church tomorrow? If we keep things the same, but younger people are not coming to the church, what on earth are we doing? What does this mission thing look like? And what does it mean to have the fire of the Spirit in us? And what does it mean if we've downed tools to pick up a tool once again and start digging and raking in the same way that we did before? Or is God, in the power of the Spirit, opening us up to something new. And let me tell you, in a church that's really well organized, I don't know what the future holds. But I know God is calling this church into something new, and that demands change. But I am worried. I'm worried because I'm not sure whether we're all up for it, whatever it is. And that's a genuine question. So I turned to my Latin. Oh, yes. I know no Latin at all. In fact, in the office, sometimes it's Nicola's up there, obviously, and I'm up there as well. And her daughter, Bethany, when she's sometimes off school and there's been quite a few strikes, and she's coming to the office, and I say, Bethany, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just reading Latin. Oh, yeah, okay, all right. She knows her Latin. I don't. But I'm going to attempt to say this. Ecclesia reformata semper reformanda est secundu verbum Dei. Meaning, the church reformed ought always to be reforming according to the word of God. A Swiss theologian, Karl Barth, said that. The church reformed ought always to be reforming according to the word of God. If you are not, and if I am not open to a reformation, a renaissance, a work of the Spirit doing something new, opening ourselves up to the beauty and wonder of Christ again, then we kind of have to think with Rachel, what on earth are we doing? So the Spirit is at work in the church of tomorrow, and you're going to get a bit of this information in the autumn, no doubt. I do plan ahead. There's a book I'm reading, The Church of Tomorrow, Being a Christ-Centered People in a Changing World. And the author suggests that for the church to be alive to the presence of the Spirit, to up tools again, by the way, he doesn't use that illustration, that's unique to me, copyrighted to Matt Wilson. But the church of tomorrow is to honor Jesus. That's what we are about. Every time we worship, we honor Jesus. We depend upon the Holy Spirit. Of course we do. This is absolutely amazing. Draw near and draw near to the presence of God. Touch the life of God. To be confident in the gospel. That's what I dream of SBC, to be a people confident of the gospel. To be a disciple-making community, not stagnant in our faith, but growing and moving. Encourage. To plant churches. I've loved learning about the history of Alton. I do wonder whether, as we grow as a church, we need to be thinking seriously about planting a church. I may be wrong. Very happy to have a debate about that. To grow in diverse leadership. Not white, middle-aged male with a bit of a belly like me. White, middle-aged male leadership, as if that's the only leadership, must go. I can't say it any clearer. To be a holy people, a holy people, bringing one another to account, and that's okay. And this one, to prioritize prayer. Last Sunday, after church, we had the Connect lunch, and I'll finish with this story. And she's sitting over the right, but Sarah. I went round to everybody in the Connect lunch, new to the church, tried to chat to everyone, and there was one table that I didn't get to until the very end. I'm not saying I saved the best till last, but it was an amazing moment. I'd not really spoken to Sarah before. But she poured out her life and her heart, not too dissimilar to you, Rachel, but from a very different perspective. She had no Christian background, no experience of church, and walked in last September and thought, this is weird. Send the fire? What fire are you talking about? The lyrics of songs, the things you do, it's weird. Don't do that out on the street. So she goes, and then thinks it was the, was it God taking me into that church? Then leaves and comes back in January. And I'd love to tell you the rest of the story, but I'm not going to. Sarah will one day. Not me. It's not my story to tell. But she's here. Have a wave. Have a coffee. When you have a coffee with Sarah, or when you have a coffee with Rachel, or when you have a coffee with Andrew, smiling there, or when you have a coffee with Sophia, when you have a coffee with Ian, or when you have a coffee with Mim, sharing the life of God, the wonders of God in each of our lives, that's the work of the Spirit. We've got to reimagine and reappear as a church once again to the life of Christ and the fullness of the Spirit. Amen.